Maybe somebody lost on today, like a copy of God's Word, offered to you quite freely. Gift of God, His Word, written down in its pages, bright and fair. You like a copy of God's Word, offered to you quite freely, and without any cost and any obligation to you. You'd like one, then do feel free to come and ask for one. Feeling lonely, distressed, depressed, in trouble, for any reason at all, I'd love to pray with you, counsel you if I may, read God's Word to you, befriend you, whatever your need is, whatever you might be, a member of the Watchtower Society, Roman Catholic, Jew, Gentile, or Muslim, whatever you might be. I'm here to minister to you God's Word. Some things hard to say, and some things not quite so hard. But in speaking the truth to you, that does not make me your enemy, or should not do, at least anyway. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one, gladly placed into your hand. When I use the name God, I'm talking about, of course, the God of the Bible, the God who has revealed Himself, my Trinity, who has revealed Himself in Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three distinct persons, each one of them called equally God. That's who and what I mean by the concept, by the term, the name God. And of course, God has chosen to reveal Himself, well, in all the things that He's made, the entirety of His creation, as the Bible tells us, what you would perhaps call nature. God has revealed Himself and says that because of that alone, that we are all of us, yourself and myself, we are without excuse for not knowing Him. Not knowing that He exists, but of course not knowing Him personally, and of course relationally, that is in a covenant of friendship. But of course more clearly and fully, revealed Himself to us in His Word, the Bible, the only source in all that we have of information of truth, the truth that God has revealed concerning Himself more fully and more clearly, more distinctly revealed to us in His Word, the Bible. And why, of course, I offer you God's written Word, you know, for you to read, meditate, muse upon for yourself, that you might come to know Him and knowledge of Him and of His Son Jesus Christ, and that through Him that you might have and know eternal life, safety for time and safety for eternity. So it's the Bible. To the Bible you must go. Jesus, He says, these are they which testify of Me. Whenever you go in the Bible, you see, you find Jesus Christ. Well, He's there to be found. You know, from beginning to end, Genesis all the way through to Revelation, He's there to be found, because He is the sum and substance, you might say, of the Bible. God Himself manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those under the law, under the condemnation of the law. Condemned, my friends, to a man, to a woman, all of us sinned and come short of God's glory, and so in need of Jesus as to be our Savior. So our continuing with our catechism class today, our question is, questions of course are welcome and comments too, if you please, that is if you give me the opportunity to answer your questions, only too pleased to try to do so. I do not have the answer to everything, but I do believe I have the answer to that which is most important, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So our catechism question for today is, why was the mediator called Christ? Well, we dealt with the one question, why was He called Jesus? That was His personal name, Jesus, and of course it means Savior. That name was given to Him by God Himself, appointed of God. His parents were told prior to His birth that He was to be called Jesus because He is, would be, and is a Savior. The name, you see, suited, well, His work, what He came to perform, what He came to do, and of course that He has done. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That was the task given to Him before the foundation of the world. A certain number of people given to Him by His Father, and He, of course, sent into the world to become a man, you know, weak flesh, but yet without the sin factor, you know. You and I, we are sinful flesh, but Jesus Christ was in the flesh, but without sin. And of course, He came for a specific and special purpose, to die on a cross in order that His people, given to Him by His Father, would be saved. That is, no eternal life in His name. That's the name Jesus. But why was the mediator, that Jesus, only mediator between God and man, no other, not the Pope, not Muhammad, not Mary, not the Watchtower Society or any other religious institution or society, Jesus and Jesus alone is the only mediator, the only one with the ability, with the authority, with the power to bring men and women back to God, that is, back to a relationship with God, of friendship, covenant friendship with God, through Jesus Christ. Why He was called Jesus, and why He was sent, and that is to be a mediator between two warring factions. Because here you are, you see, it's how we are born into this world. It's our natural state and condition, at enmity in our sinful minds against God, at war with God, in other words. And because you're at war with God, well, God's at war with you. But guess who wins that war in the end? Not you, but Jesus came to be a mediator between the two factions, of men and women such as you and I, that we could be reconciled to God through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And He made that possible, you see, by His coming, living, loving, dying, rising again from the dead, and now ruling and reigning from the right hand of God, alive forevermore, a living, conquering Savior. Jesus is His name. But coming to our question, why was the mediator, why was He called Christ? Not Christ the same, you see. You see, your surname, you know, might be, I don't know, Smith, Jones, Robert, whatever. And some people, of course, they think, well, when you say Jesus Christ, Jesus is His first name and Christ is His second name. Not so. Jesus is His personal name. Christ is His title, you see. Called Christ because He was anointed with the Holy Ghost above measure, and so set apart and fully furnished with all authority and ability to execute the offices of prophet, priest, and king of His church in the estate of both His humiliation and exaltation. Anointed, you see, of God, a title, you know, like, you know, in America, you've got a president. President, whatever his name might be, President Trump. Here you've got a Prime Minister, Prime Minister Johnson. Prime Minister, President is a title, not a name. Christ is a title, not a name. And of course, he was anointed of God, by God the Holy Spirit, you see, anointed of God, the Christ of God, the Old Testament, called the Messiah, the one who would come. Of course, here, I tell you, well, here is food for your faith, is it not? For someone who would believe, you know, that all the Old Testament spoke about Jesus, spoke about the Christ, spoke about the Messiah, how he would come for years and years, hundreds of years, thousands of years. And God was speaking through his prophets and telling us how he would send his Messiah, his Savior, into the world. And just, of course, as it was predicted, my friend, just as the Bible said, long, long before he came, so it came to pass in just the way, born of a virgin, in just the same way that God said it would happen thousands of years before it actually happened. Now who could know such a thing as that? Who could predict such a thing as that but God alone? And the God, of course, of creation, the God, of course, the God of providence, the God who providentially is able to bring such a thing about as that. And so, as predicted, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, he came at just the right time, the Bible says, God's appointed time, and God's anointed mediator. Anointed Christ, that's what the title means. Anointed of God, of his Father, and given the authority and ability to do the things that he came to do, to save sinners like you and I, to save us from our wretchedness, our blindness, save us from our deadness, to deliver us from our sin, to bring forgiveness to us, and bring us back to God from the dark path of sin. And so the title means, you see, anointing. He's the Messiah of the Old Testament and the Christ of the New Testament to do the work of the kingdom. And what is the work of his kingdom? Well, he says, I must go forth, he says, many towns and cities and other places to preach the kingdom of God, to usher in, to bring the kingdom of God. And of course, when he says, repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom of God has come. Why? Because the King himself has come. Jesus, the Christ, has come. The anointed of the Father has come. And so therefore, my friends, the kingdom is declared in all the world, even today and shall be till the end of the age. And that kingdom, of course, which he himself is building, adding to day by day, as men and women hear about Jesus Christ, hear the truth about Jesus Christ, hear the truth about their sin, hear the truth about their fallenness, hear the truth of their need of forgiveness and the mercy of God. They are added to God's kingdom. They're brought into God's kingdom. How? Well, in the way that I bid you today, in the way of repentance and faith toward Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Only the Christ, only the one anointed of God can do this. He alone has the authority. He alone has the power, the ability. His enemy said on one occasion of him, when he was healing a man, said of him, nobody can forgive sins but God. And they were absolutely right. But what they didn't know, what they were blind to, is what many people are blind to today in Walsall, is that Jesus Christ is God. God manifest in the flesh with the authority, the ability, the anointing of God upon him to forgive sins. So you see, my friend, he alone, he tells us, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ alone has the authority to say to anyone, thy sins are forgiven thee. That authority is not given to any pope or any priest. It's not given to a preacher. It lies only in Jesus Christ. So unless you've heard the words of absolution from the lips of Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, well, you're still in your sin. And if you do not believe that He is the Christ, you will die in your sin and go to a lost eternity. So you must be, you see, believe on the Christ of God, the Anointed of God, sent a mediator to bring you back to God from the dark path of sin. So you see, when the Bible says we talk about it being anointed of God as God's mediator, dedicated by God, consecrated to God, to serve God, and to serve God in bringing the kingdom of God to men and women, and coming, my friends, to die, to suffer that death, that ignominious death upon the cross, and rise again from the dead, to fulfill everything that God gave him to do. And the Bible tells us, this is why we can trust him, you see. Because he was without sin. The only man, I tell you, ever walked the face of this earth who was truly good. Because, my friends, apart from Jesus Christ, there's none good, says God. You might think yourself to be good, but you're not. There's none good, says God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. So you see, my friends, the only one person ever walked the face of this earth who was truly good, Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Mediator. But because he was without sin, never a sinful thought, never a sinful word, never a sinful deed, even his enemies testified he only ever went about doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead to life, giving sight to the blind, cleansing lepers, only and ever and always doing good. How? And how could you do that? Because the kingdom of God had come. Because he is the king. And what did we do with the only good man that ever walked the face of this earth? We took him, we nailed him to a cross. And you were there, I was there, we were all there. You've heard that song, haven't you? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the answer is yes, we were all there. Every single one of us. Nailing the Son of God viciously and cruelly to that cross because of our sinful, wicked hearts, hating a man, the only man that was ever good on this earth. So my friend Jesus, the sinless Jesus, the sinless Christ of God, anointed of God, consecrated by God to the service of God to fulfill everything necessary for our salvation. So you can fully and you can completely trust in him. Trust in him, my friend. There is no other you can trust. You cannot trust yourself, your own heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nobody unless God shows it to you. No, no, my friend. But is it not the truth? But you will trust. You will trust anybody. You will trust in anybody but Jesus. Ah, you get in trouble. Who do you go to? The doctor, the psycho, the social workers, you know, the government. The Pope, you know, Muhammad, the Watchtower Society. You'll go to everybody and anything but Jesus Christ, the one who can deliver you, save you, the one who can bring forgiveness, the one who can give you eternal life. You'll trust in anybody and anything but Jesus. And he is the only one who you can truly trust, the one who will love you with an everlasting love and never, never forsake you. He was given the Spirit of God without measure, the Bible says. And his anointing at the time when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove, anointing the Son of God, authorizing appointing him and giving him the ability to do the things that he is able to do. And why the Bible says that he is able. Abel has the ability to save to the uttermost all who come to God through him. Because he has that authority, given that ability to do that which he came to do, my friend. Christ Jesus came what for? To make you healthy? No. To make you wealthy? No. He came, my friend, he came to save. He came into the world to save sinners, the Bible tells us. And that's what he's doing, day by day. Even today, the world over, Jesus, the Christ of God, anointed of God, authorized by God, and given the ability by God to do what was necessary to bring sinners to salvation. That's what he came for. He came to save. He didn't come to destroy. Many of your religions that you subscribe to here in Walsall today, they advocate killing. They advocate murder. They advocate manslaying. Not Jesus. Not Jesus, my friend. I did not come to destroy men's lives, he said. I came to save them. That's what he came for. That's what he was anointed for. That's why he's the Christ of God. The only Christ, I tell you. He tells us many will come in his name. Many will profess his name. Many will claim to be the Christ, he says. But he says, take no notice of them. It's the Christ of the Bible. The Christ of Holy Scripture that you need. There's only one, the Son of God, the Son of Man, made of a woman, made under the law, who came into the world, my friend, to search, to seek, and to save that which was lost. Men and women such as yourself here today in Walsall, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not in the right relationship with God, if you're not ready for eternity, if you've not been forgiven by the mercy of God, the kindness of God, if you're still in your sin, my friends, then you're lost. Lost in this world, not knowing why you're here and not knowing where you're going or where you're going to end up. Well, said Jesus, he came to seek and to save, not just to find you, not just to find you, but, my friends, to save you. Who will put your trust in him to save you? Who will put your trust in the Christ of God, the anointed of God, the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ, given the authority and the ability to save you, see? The Holy Spirit given to you without measure, and that's how he was able to go about doing the miracles that he did. Raising the dead to life, opening the eyes of the blind. For these are the things that were foretold in the Old Testament. How that Jesus would come, how that the Messiah, the Christ would come to set the captive free, open the eyes of the blind, relieve the oppressed. And when Jesus came, he stood up in the synagogue one day and declared these things, he says, that this is now fulfilled in him, himself. This is what he came for, he says. To open the eyes of the blind, to set the captive free, to seek and to save the lost, my friend, that which is lost, lost sinners such as yourself. And so, my friend, with the mighty power of God upon him, anointed of God the Holy Spirit without measure, and able, my friends, to do these wonderful things that showed, that authenticated, that proved that he is of God, that his work is of God, and that his call to you is of God. He was given that authority, given that ability to raise the dead, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, all pointing to him as being sent of God, appointed, authorized of God to do these things, to manifest, to show himself as he is, for what he is, the Son of God with power. And my friend, with the power, not only to do that, these things, my friend, but I tell you this, he says to lay down his life. I have this authority, he says, to lay down my life and take it again. Muhammad ever do that? Don't think so. The popes of Rome? I don't think so. The Watchtower Society? I don't think so. Any other person in the history of the world ever made such a claim and ever done such a thing? Laid down his life? Life was not taken from him. He surrendered his life. He gave it up on the cross as an offering to God for the sins of the world. And my friend, he laid his life down and he took it again, raised from the dead by his own power. He went into that tomb willingly for sinners such as you and I. And he walked out of it, my friends, 3 days later, authorized, given that ability, that power, anointed of God for such. That's why the mediator, that's why he's called the Christ. And given the wisdom and the ability, my friend, to do all the things we read of in the Bible of him doing. My friend, everything, all that he did, the words that he spoke, my friend, wisdom from above, and the ability, the power, my friend, to do the things that he did. And my friends, as he walked this earth, men were trusting in him, believing in him, and being saved from their sin, being brought back to God from the dark path of sin. Even beneath the cross, as he was dying, expiring, giving up his life, my friend, men and women were turning to him. A thief on the cross next to him turned to him in repentance. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom, and was assured, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What if your life was taken today? What if you expired today? Would you hear the same words from Jesus, from the Christ, the Messiah? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise? Or my friend, maybe, perhaps, in rejection of the Christ, your end will be the very opposite. Not a paradise, but my friend, a hellish hovel instead of a heavenly mansion. Only as you trust in Jesus can you have that assurance. Only as you embrace the Christ of God can you have that assurance that paradise, that heaven will be yours. Only Jesus can take you there, you see. So Jesus, you see, more than any other, any who ever went before him, authorized and given the ability to be my friend, oh, the supreme prophet, teacher that is, the one who would teach you about the kingdom of God, the one who could teach you the things that you can't be taught in a school, in any education system, in any university, my friend. Only Jesus, only God's prophet can teach you about God, revealing God to you. Or it remains hidden, my friend. Or you remain in darkness. You can't see him. You can't know him. You can't communicate with him. You can't relate with him. You cannot do these things unless Jesus reveals them to you. Unless he teaches you of God. Only he can do. I can tell you the truth, but only Jesus, only he can make it effective to you. All the things of God's kingdom remain hidden to you. You remain blind and daft and stupid in your sin, my friend. Only Jesus, he needs to educate you. You need him as your prophet, my friend. to teach you not just about God, the things of God, but to teach you concerning yourself what it is that you are, the rock from which you've been hewn. Adam, you're a child of Adam. Adam was your first parent. He was your first father, the one who sinned, my friend, and brought sin and death into the world. And by natural generation now, every man, woman, and child born into the world, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but only Jesus, only the prophet of God, the Christ of God, can teach you these things. Till then, you go about God's world, enjoying the things that God has given to you, enjoying the food, enjoying the planet, all the good things that God has afforded the human race. You go about enjoying all these things, but yet ignoring your Maker, ignoring the one who would save you, my friends, alienated from Him, separated from Him by your sin. Jesus, my friends, teach you the kind of sinner it is that you really, really are, my friend. A sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. And it's because of that nature that you sin in practice. You sin in your thought, you sin in your words, you sin in your deeds, every which way, every minute of every day you sin. You're walking, breathing, talking sin. It's all you are, my friend. Nothing but sin. Until Jesus takes it away, that is. Until He teaches you of God, until He teaches you the kind of sinner you are, and brings you to that place of forsaking your sin, rejecting it, turning your back upon it, and turning to the Son of God that you might be forgiven. He's the great high priest, the Bible terms Him, the one who offered Himself up to the death of the cross, my friend, to shed His own precious blood, not the blood of an animal, many, many of which were slain in the Old Testament of the Bible, pointed to the one ultimate sacrifice that God Himself would provide, His own Lamb, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is God's Lamb, and He's God's great high priest, my friend. And He offered not an animal to God, He offered Himself up on that cross, my friends, dying, shedding His precious, His divine blood on that cross in order that men and women, such as you and I, lost in sin, with sinful natures and sinful practices, that you might be forgiven, that you might go to heaven one day, that you might have eternal life in His name. But unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, I ask you today, are you washed? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You must needs be, I tell you, whoever you are, whatever you are, a Gentile, a Jew, a Sikh, a Roman Catholic, a Muslim, or just a plain, godless atheist, I tell you, whoever you are, in order to be saved, in order to have eternal life, in order to get back to God, you must needs be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Come now, said the Lord, let us reason together, though your sins be as scarlet, it shall be as white as snow. Jesus the Christ, the anointed of God, the great high priest who offered Himself up to the death of the cross, but now alive and alive forevermore, ruling and reigning from the throne of God. A king, my friend, a king, a king. And I tell you, my friends, if you do not bow the knee to the King, well, my friends, is death. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son. lest ye be angry and ye perish from the way. Because if you do not bow the knee to King Jesus, if you do not submit to him, if you do not yield to him in faith, I tell you, my friend, you will. You will, as Jesus terms it, you will all likewise perish. That's the end of sin, my friend. Perishing now in this world, your lives, your beings, everything about you is perishing, corrupting. But the end of it, my friends, is to perish eternally. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But he that believeth not, my friends, well, the wrath of God abideth upon him. So you see, my friends, the believer, the one who trusts, who truly believes in Jesus, shares in the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they call us Christians, you know. Of course, there are many who call themselves Christians, but not many who are Christians, if I might make a distinction there. Many false prophets, many false teachers, teaching damnable heresy. 9,900 religions in your world today, and not one of them got a hate word of salvation in them. Not of God, of the flesh, of man. Christ, the only mediator, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Salvation is found in him, and in him alone, and in no other. The King, my friend, and you do not bow the knee to the King, you will perish. Perish in the way. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, madam, and ye perish from the way. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but share in the anointing of the Christ. Shall be as he is, prophets, teachers, priests unto God, and share in Christ's eternal, everlasting rule. So you see, given the ability, given the power, my friend, to do what he did, to exercise, to function in what he was given to do. Your problem and my problem is that we don't have the power. Oh, you would like to be delivered from some sins, some you love and you cling to. Some of you would maybe like to be free of the booze or the drugs. Like to be free, maybe, of the disease-causing immorality, you know, the sodomy and the lesbianism. You know, all the effects of misery that your sin brings upon you. Oh, you would love to be delivered from, but you don't have the power. And it doesn't matter where or who you go to. You do not find the power to deliver you, to relieve you. Only Jesus, only the Christ of God can do that. He was given that power. Why Paul the Christ? Why he was given that anointing, the ability, the authority, the power, my friend, to make sinners whole, to make the drug addict clean, to make the sodomite or the lesbian clean, to make the fornicator clean, to make the drunkard sober, to make the thief honest. It saves you from your sin, sir. Save you from your wicked, unbelieving heart, sir. That he'll do. Not sunshine you need, sir. God's forgiveness that you need. So he has the ability, the power, you see, that nobody else has. And I tell you, I can bring you here to know Christian men and women, you know, men who are lost in drunkenness, women who are lost in immorality, filthy and unclean, who can stand here and testify to you of the power of King Jesus to save, to forgive, to heal, to love, to make whole again. That's what He does. I did not come to destroy men's lives. I came to save. I came to heal. I came to put you back together again. I tell you, I can say this with confidence, that I can say of no other man in this world, but the man Christ Jesus, I tell you, will not hurt you if you trust Him. He will not hurt you. He will only ever do you good if you trust Him. If you trust Him, if you believe in Him. So you see, my friend, during the entirety of His earthly life, He did this. He did the business. He did the business. The proof you see is in the pudding. Well, my friends, He did. He didn't just talk. You know, there's a lot of religious people just go about talking, you know. Talk, you know. And talk is cheap. You know, but there's no doing with them. There's no doing with them. There's no kindness with them. But Jesus, my friend, Jesus didn't just talk. He didn't just preach. He didn't just teach people. He went about doing good, my friend. Kindness to people. Men brought their children to Him. You know, man came to Him on one occasion. His son was full of evil, given over to evil. If you can do anything, help us, Jesus said. If thou canst believe, He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The man got the help because he believed. Help thou mine unbelief, he said. My friend, oh, read the gospel for yourself and see it. The many, many people in distress and trouble came to Jesus. Came to Him for help and were never turned away, but got the help that they asked for, sought for, and seen, and told. On every occasion, told by Jesus the same thing, but in different words. Only believe. If thou canst believe, trust in God. Faith, my friend. Faith in Jesus Christ is the key in the Christ of God. Believing. But without faith, you get nothing. Without faith, you get nothing. Without faith in Jesus Christ, without faith in the Christ of God, you get nothing from God's hand. No access to God, no communication with God, no friendship with God. Nothing but enmity, nothing but hostility, nothing but wrath. The wrath of God abides upon you. And only Jesus can take it away and open the way up for communion with God. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody has access to God but by me. No one communicates with God but by me. No one has forgiveness from God but by me. Jesus, the Christ, alone can bring you to God. What He died on the cross for, to bring us to God. My friends, He exercised this ministry on earth, and now at the right hand of God, the throne of God in heaven, He continues to exercise the same ministry. Men and women the world over, here in your own country, men and women who are hearing the gospel, hearing the good news of God's salvation, hearing the name Jesus, hearing of the Christ of God, the anointed of God, hearing of Him, hearing the truth, and the truth making them free, bringing them to that place of repentance, of coming from their sin, because without repentance, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, says Jesus. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Repentance is imperative. It's a must. But repentance goes with faith. Why, Jesus says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Because no man ever truly repented without believing, and no man truly believed without repenting. The two go together. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. And that's God's command. That's God's call. Today, my friend, to men and women the world over, and here in Walsall today, repent and believe. That's the call. That's the call. And the question, the only question left to you is, will you obey the call? Will you obey the command of God? Repent ye and believe the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died, the Christ of God died for sinners. Just as the Bible long, right all the way back to the beginning. It says man fell into sin, saving men and women. Christ died for sinners. Just as the Bible, just as the Scripture said he would. And after the third day, just as the Scripture said he would, raised from the dead. That's the gospel, to believe in the death, the atoning death, the sin-cleansing death of the Son of God. Believing in the resurrection of the Son of God. Repent ye and believe that gospel, because there's no other gospel, no other good news. In all the world there's no good news. Nothing but bad news. Nothing but sickness. Nothing but viruses. Nothing but earthquakes, tsunamis, accidents. Nothing but death, my friend. You live in a veil of death in this world. But Jesus, he is the author of life, the giver of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? That's the question. Will you believe? If you will, you may be saved. But if you will not believe, you remain lost, ruined, undone, and faced with a lost eternity. So I bid you today, in the command of God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Walsall, repent ye, repent ye, repent ye, and believe the gospel. If you like a copy of God's word, check these things out for yourself. See, it is the truth according to God's written word. Like a copy of the New Testament, offered to you quite freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. You would like one, feel free to come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy, mercy, Walsall, upon your precious, never dying soul.